welcome to the Portrait on Firefall Talk Radio. I am Richard Grund. This is the way we get back to basics, examining the Word of God, especially the Book of Acts Church. This is where we consider and examine how the early church served the Lord, and that way we can do what they did the way that they did it, and hopefully with the same effectiveness. The Portrait's been created to restore the priesthood of the believer, the world-shaking influence the Book of Acts Church had, and we do that by taking an unfiltered, non-watered-down look at the Word of God and the red-letter basics of the Lord Himself. We believe that the church age is still in effect, that the day of Pentecost continues, the fire still falls. The Porch is an outreach of Solomon's Porch, Inc. Yeah, that was easy for you to say, Richard. Go to onsolomonsport.org if you want to contact us. If you'd like to support what we do, go to firefalltalkradio.com. There are ways at the bottom of the page to do that. We appreciate your support and your encouragement. We appreciate our Blog Talk, iTunes, and iHeartRadio listeners. Make sure you subscribe to the Firefall Talk Radio Spreaker app. Get updates on broadcasts when we're on the air. We're also on social media, Facebook and Twitter. As I said, we've been changing the format, so this will be the last week that the Porch will air from its own specific show slot. From now on, we will be on the main Spreaker account for Firefall Talk Radio, so make sure that you have that favorited and bookmarked so you can go right there. Praise reports and prayer requests. Well, I praise the Lord for my home that I'm able to do this in with you. For my wife, for our family, my sons, daughter-in-laws, and of course our grandson, JJ. For our furry kids, some of you call them pets, we don't. They are our children. They are family. For all the possessions that He's given us, all of this equipment, this ability to do this is a blessing. I praise Him for His ministry that He lets me work. For the dreams and the visions, for the healing virtues that are still available to us, for the ability to praise Him. In many nations in the world, they have to do this either in secret or not at all. Our brothers and sisters are being slaughtered worldwide for their worship of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I praise Him for being a new creation and living in these prophetic times and living in America. Yes, we have our flaws and our warts and our problems, but I still believe this is the greatest country on earth. I praise Him for the signs that He's giving us, getting ready to return. They're all there. I was actually talking to Pastor Shelley today. We had a long, powerful conversation about the fact that there are teachers and speakers and celebrity Christian, whatever that we want to call them, superstars out there that don't believe we're in the end times. We're going to have, 20, 30 more years, and then the Lord will come back. And I have a hard time with that. The seven churches in Revelation exist simultaneously. All of the signs given to us as a warning in Matthew 24, Luke 21, they're happening simultaneously. The earth, everything that the Lord said to watch for from the time that Israel became a nation is happening. So here we are, folks. We need to get ready for His return, which means we pray for the peace of Jerusalem and the peace of Israel. And that means the return of the Prince of Peace. Pray for the fatherless, the widows, the innocents, the victims of injustice. We live in a dark, ugly world, and it seems to be getting worse. For our brothers and sisters, as I mentioned, who are being martyred for their faith, for divine wholeness, health, and healing, and me and my wife, we've been fighting this crud that's going around, and I know some of you are too. I've seen the post, I've talked to you. I just pray right now in the name of Jesus, whatever this is, whatever its source is, that we would be healed, cleansed, delivered, that it would be gone, and we would be restored and renewed. I pray for all of us to get back to our divine design. Healing in the sick right now. Protection, inspiration. Pray for the remnant to wake up, rise up, and answer the call to action. That was the other thing that Shelley and I talked about, how small the remnant seems to be and how little the church seems to care. So I'm praying that those that do care would answer the call to action, would be a blessing if you have the ability to do so, and that we would all prosper in accordance with his word so that it can go into the kingdom, that we can be open conduits of his blessing. It's time to move forward. It's time to fund the things of the kingdom that he has given us and inspired us to do. Chris in Hawaii. Chris is a longtime friend, listener, came to our first seminar in Connecticut in 2011, I think it was, the Sea Conference. She lives on the Big Island, not too far from Kilauea. And right now, barreling down on Hawaii is a Category 5, sometimes Category 4, sometimes 5 hurricane. It goes from 155 to 100, has been up to 160 miles an hour, called Hurricane Lane. Well, it's in its lane, and it's headed towards the Big Island, the same island that Kilauea has gone dormant on. It's gone very quiet, quite quiet. And that means, well, it could mean it's gone to sleep. Could also mean it's getting ready to do something. So keep Chris and her family and her, she has some farm animals, some goats, things like that. And the problem that the Aloha State has is they don't have enough shelters for their residents. So some people are just going to have to ride it out at home. So pray for them. Stacy in Texas, she has an unspoken prayer request for her family and her marriage. Kim in Fort Mitchell, we missed her last week. Says she's doing okay. Kids started school. The baby and she are pretty much on their own all day. Celebrating 2 years sober, she remembers when she couldn't even make it through the day without drinking. Grateful for the gift of sobriety that God has given her. Says, the only way I keep this sober is to pass it on, so I've decided to go back to school and become an addiction counselor. God put this on my heart. I'm grateful for my salvation. Without my Savior, none of this would make sense. I want to thank God for my children, for this ministry, for my friend Stacy, and all that he provides me. There are things that need improvement in my spiritual walk, so she's asking for prayers to strengthen her faith, give her patience and endurance. Says there's so many things that bother her, that the enemy seems to have normalized in the world and created confusion about, dogfighting, animal abuse, which, believe me, is upsetting. Seems to be no boundaries to child abuse. Mentions a story here about a mother who did some horrific things, inviting men over to abuse her two-year-old daughter while she videotaped it. Folks, that's another sign. The lawlessness and the sin and the degradation we're seeing in the world, the enemy's getting ready for their coming out party. We need to pray for the innocents, pray for her. Pray, Father, she's asking for him to bless us and favor us with her child support case, protecting her families, provide for us. Said, with all the storms and the wildfires and the earthquakes and the wars, she's not sleeping well. So, Lord, I pray right now the peace that surpasses all understanding on Kim. Get some rest. Said, hold us in your hands and forgive us our trespasses in Jesus' name. Lord, you know what's going on. You're not surprised by any of this. You know the end from the beginning. You live outside of time. But you still ask us to choose. You still ask us to make the right choices. So that's the first place we start, by acknowledging you as the great I am. You are the architect of all things. El Elyon, God Most High. El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. I pray right now, Lord, that you would be Jehovah Rapha and heal us. Heal of us the sickness and disease and infirmity and injuries. Fill us with your spirit. Set us free of the bondages and the pain. Open our eyes, our hearts, and our minds to your word tonight. Lord, we thank you for the cross. We thank you for the empty tomb, for the upper room, for the fire that fell and still falls. Let it fall upon us now, even during this Bible study. If you want to hit somebody and set them free and fill them with the gifts and the fruit, Lord, do it. Do it. Have your way. Have your way, please. We just thank you right now for guidance. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for walking with us and encouraging us. We thank you for everything that you're doing. We accept it. We embrace it. We believe and we receive. In Yeshua's name, amen. These lessons are proprietary information, except where noted that the information comes from outside sources. The combination of that information, the manner presented, is exclusive, cannot be repeated or reused without permission. The date of this broadcast serves as the registered date of the following information. We are continuing our talk about the external war, and we're getting deeper into the armor of God. So open your Bibles and whatever it is you use to follow along. Matthew 28, starting verse 18, Yeshua said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." All authority, all power of rule in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That's what he was saying. All heavenly authority, all earthly authority, everything above and below and in between is his. So go. Go onward. Depart. Proceed under that authority. Exousia, that's authority. That's jurisdiction. That's the power of rule of government. The power of one whose will and commands must be obeyed. King of kings. Lord of lords. The captain of the host. The early church understood all of that. They went, even at the risk of their own lives. They went. It didn't matter what the cost was, what the pain would be. They went because they understood warfare and the constant struggle with the powers of darkness. But for some reason, and Shelley and I discussed this too, contemporary teachers don't want to talk about that. Oh, that's not important. The Lord's done it all. Just live your life. Have your best life now. Name it and claim it. Don't worry about any of those things. I'm telling you, folks, it's not the truth. They understood they were being sent out. They were being sent out into a fallen world, into the enemy's jurisdiction, even though God is the God of all things, Satan is the God of this world. They knew there was an enemy there. They knew there was going to be warfare and resistance from that enemy, both natural and spiritual. So we're going to go back to Ephesians 6. And I want you, with all of my heart, for the sake of you and your family, and for the sake of your peace of mind, P-E-A-C-E, so that the enemy doesn't break your mind into pieces and your family into pieces, that you understand this. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in this evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought." What Paul's saying here, and he's writing this from prison, what he's saying is, understand that you are in a war. Yes, you are in a war. There's a scene in the Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers, where they're trying to convince Theoden, the king, to get involved in the battle against this evil kingdom that's rising up to destroy Middle-earth. And Theoden says, "I will not risk open war." And Aragorn, the lead warrior, says, "Open war is upon you. whether you would risk it or not. What he's saying, what I believe Paul's saying, what I'm trying to get across to you now, war's not coming. It's here. Turn on the news. Think of some of the things that Kim mentioned, the horrific things that parents are doing to their children and children to their parents, and what being done to animals and how we're mistreating them and we mistreat one another. The horrific sins and debauchery that you see on the news, that's the enemy. Yes, mankind is sinful and depraved. Yes, we have iniquity and bred sin. But the thing that I'm seeing, the behavior, says to me that the enemy's getting ready for the coming out party. They're already getting clothed in bodies to do what they need to do. Paul says it there in verse 12, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. And then he tells us who we're wrestling against, principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. Oh, you can blame Hollywood, you can blame politics, you can blame crime, but those are the human people that are acting out under the behavioral influence of something and someone else. We cannot ignore that. But the other thing we cannot ignore is where we stand in all of this. Where we stand on the battlefield. Where we stand in authority. What we've been given to. Remember I said last week, he supplies, we apply. Colossians 1 tells me, for it was in him that all things were created. In heaven and on earth. Things seen, things unseen. Were the thrones, dominion, rulers, or authorities, all things were created and exist through him. It means he holds it all together. He made it. He spoke it into existence by the sound and vibrational nature of his voice, and he still holds it together. They found what they believed to be the edge of the universe, and there's some kind of a static barrier there. Well, it's him. And he existed before all things, and in him all things consist. They're held together. And he is the head of his body, which is us, the church. Seeing he is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, so that he alone in everything and in every aspect might occupy the chief place, standing first and preeminent. For it has pleased the Father that all the divine fullness, the sum total of divine perfection, powers, and attributes, should dwell in him permanently, and we sit with him in the heavenly places. We are joint heirs with him. Now, Paul doesn't go into much more detail than this about the powers, the thrones, and the dominions, and I've done a little bit of it, and I've taught on it, but now I'm at the point where either his audience already knew and understood, or because it wasn't important, that the only ranking and power we need to understand is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Oh, I can understand that there are different levels of demonic entities and fallen angelic beings. I can understand some are more powerful than others. But we should just have a scorched earth policy when it comes to the enemy. We should just hit him with everything we have. We should just hit him with every spiritual nuclear bomb that we've got every time. Show no mercy. Because this wrestling, this warfare, this up-close battle with them is it's a winner-take-all battle. Of course, we know we've already won. But the enemy won't concede. He won't give in. He's going to continue the fight until the final bell. We are engaged in a physical conflict of rocking back and forth, which has its vibrational nature and the sound of our voice and the sound of our praise. And we want to cast him down. When he was cast down in the beginning and he'll be cast down at the end, he's going to be violently thrown and thrust into the ground. And I want to be there to see it. And we have to believe that greater is the God you serve than the God of this world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is against you. Therefore, we must apply every aspect of the armor of God. We must make a provision for war. before we go any further, what do you need to fight for right now? What's going on in your life that you need to get on your knees, get under your prayer shawl, get your praise and your prayer going? What warfare is going on? Stop saying, oh, Lord, do this. That's the other thing Shelley and I were talking about. All these people that tell you, don't worry about it. God's going to fight it for you. I dare anyone to find that for me in the New Testament. That is Old Testament, Old Covenant thinking. Under the New Covenant, all power in heaven and earth was given to him. Now, therefore, given to us in the upper room through the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the ability to use his word and his name. It's up to us. It's up to you. We need to know the word. We need to know the Logos and the Rhema. We need to know the spoken and the written. We need to know Yeshua. And we need to understand its piercing, penetrating effect. That's why it's called the sword. See, Calvary in the upper room changed everything. It gave us positional authority in heaven. Again, he supplies, you apply. We need to protect ourselves from the opposition of the enemy. And to do that, we have to apply his power and his authority. So how do we begin to do that? We put on God's whole armor, the armor of a heavily armed soldier, which God supplies, that you may be able successfully to stand up against all the strategies and deceits of the devil. Full armor, heavily armed soldier, very specific. This isn't a game. This isn't make-believe. This isn't cosplay. This isn't, oh, I'm dressing up as a soldier now. I'm going to wave my imaginary sword in the air. Are you afraid, demons? No, they're cackling. We need to get serious. These aren't physical opponents. There are physical opponents out there, but what's inside of them and empowering them is even much more frightening. These despots, these powers, these master spirits, world rulers of this present darkness, this spiritual force of wickedness in the supernatural sphere, bring it on. I know the one who spoke you into existence. The spirit that's inside of me that raised him from the dead is the power he used to create you. I have the power of the Creator over the creation. He supplies, we apply. Therefore, put on the whole armor of God. That's where it starts. Now, when I first got saved and I had my little index cards and I had my scriptures and I read the fruit and the gifts and I began to bind and leave loose and I got into the basic training aspects of my warfare, I used to visualize the whole armor of God and I used to put it on and I used to go through all the machinations of that. Now it's just like all just comes on simultaneously. It's like the character Iron Man in the movies. He just stands there and it just all goes. It's all in place. That's how you have to start thinking. That the minute you believe it, first of all, you should be walking it. I don't know anywhere it says take it off. But the minute you believe it, the minute you apply it, it's in place. And once you've done that, stand firmly in place. Don't lean, don't sway side to side, don't back up, and don't run. You don't want to be chased by a predator. Watch all those National Geographic History Channel Animal Planet movies of predators and prey and Shark Week. No, yeah. You don't want to be chased by a predator. Take your stand. Establish yourself. Abide. That's another word. For the Greek, histemi, for stand, abide. It means fidelity and stability. And where are you standing? And why are you standing? Because it's the time of evil. And you are standing firm. What is the time of evil? It's when evil seems to prevail. I don't like to say that's 2018, don't you? 2019, 2020, and until the Lord comes back. I think the enemy sees the signs of the times. He's not afraid, by the way. These people that tell you, oh, the enemy shivers when a saint hits his knees. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. He salivates. Oh, okay, we're going to get it on. So you need to take up, you need to put on, you need to be clothed with the whole armor of God. Not just some of the pieces, all of them. And it's because of those enemies that Paul told you about. The Nelson's New King James Version Study Bible says that the evil day, by some, refers to the end times when the evil one will launch a ferocious campaign against the Messiah and his army. And then it goes on to say a more common view is that any great spiritual contest in a believer's life could be in view here. I'm sorry, dude, I don't know who wrote that commentary, but from the moment Calvary happened, the moment the Lord was resurrected, the moment he sat down at the right hand of the Father and gave us the Holy Spirit, it was game on. You can see it in how he responded to the church. You can see in how he's responded throughout history to the Word of God. How he's responding to it now. How he's fighting the faith. How he's fighting prayer. He's fighting the Bible being in public. And I get all that. And people are offended. But you know what? That word is inside of me, and if it's not in my hands, it's still coming out of my mouth, and it's still walking with me. So how are we going to stand? We're going to stand, therefore, we're going to hold our ground, having tightened the belt of truth around our loins, and putting on, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, of integrity, of moral rectitude, and right standing with God, which is what righteousness means. So basically, the armor of God that Paul is visualizing is the Roman armor of God, and they had all these pieces, but it was all held in place by this belt that went around their midsection and came around and down up around the inner thighs and tied everything in place, kind of like a girdle, if you will. Because if you didn't do that, and then you tried to run and fight with that armor on, it'd be flopping, it'd be shifting. Truth holds it in place. Stand your ground. I know so many people over all the almost 30 years that I've been teaching. They'll start a fight with the enemy, not understanding how ferocious he's going to be in his response, and they won't stand their ground. Paul taught it. Peter gives the warning in 1 Peter 5 as well. Be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, Hasatan, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. What sufferings? Persecution, all the things that the enemy would do to us in this world. Resist, be steadfast. James 4:7 kind of picks up the thinking. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resistance and submission. Submission to God precedes resistance against the devil. If you're not in submission to God, you're not going to be very strong when you push back against the enemy. So they wore this belt that held it all together, and the truth, what is the truth? Well, we know that Yeshua is the way, the truth, and the life, that no man comes to the Father but by him. But you see, truth is the Holy Spirit, it's the Spirit of truth. It's the key aspect of every relationship with the Lord, Psalm 145, 18. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. Yeshua told the woman at the well in John 4:24, God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. In John 8:44, Yeshua said to the Pharisees, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he He speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Right there, John 8:44, kingdom of God, truth, kingdom of darkness, lies, light, darkness. Clear dichotomy. There is no middle ground. There are no grays. And the only way you can live and be successful in this battle is to make sure you have accepted him as the way, the truth, and the life. Because you don't get to the Father except through him. Don't listen to these people that say all faiths find their way back to God. Only one finds their way into the throne room. All the rest will find their way into judgment. That's why he gave us the Spirit of Truth in John 16:13. For when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things that come. Therefore, in this battle, in this armor, who's really holding it all together? The Holy Spirit. So the truth of his word and his nature is what holds the armor together. Think about that. If it's the armor of God, and if the Holy Spirit is present in your life, you've already got it together. The breastplate in Roman times covered front and back. It was made of either hard leather or metal, while the breastplate of righteousness represents the righteousness we acquire from Yeshua. Because we have no righteousness in and of our own. We have to apply his. But the amazing thing about this righteousness, look at Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. Your righteousness, your peace, and your joy from the Holy Spirit is what is the kingdom of God. It's not external behavior. It's not how you look. Not how good you smell, although it helps in crowded situations. No. The kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So this righteous way of life, this way that we will walk in the Spirit of God in the fallen world, is the transforming work of Yeshua in our lives, so that when we are on the battlefield, we are acting in his righteousness. The minute you begin to act in your own, you're in trouble. The other thing about that breastplate of righteousness, it guards the heart. Front and back. It's such a delicate place. If the enemy can pierce your heart in any way, shape, or form, spiritually, emotionally, it's very difficult to fight. It takes the fight right out of you. So guard your heart above all things. James 3:18, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. See, this armor of God is about war, but this war is about obtaining and enforcing peace. It isn't war for the sake of war. The problem sometimes with people who have a warrior spirit who will come out of the military or law enforcement or some kind of background that lived a life of warfare, it's difficult to understand that you're not winning any battles, you're enforcing the one that's already been won. And the purpose of it is to keep peace. We are an occupying army, subjecting the enemy, which refuses to surrender and submit until the king come back and finish them off. Verse 15, and having shod your feet in preparation to face the enemy with firm-footed stability, the promptness and readiness produced by the good news of the gospel of peace. Be prepared, be ready for this gospel-making peace with God and to meet God. See, the Roman soldiers had these sandals. You've seen them. They're thick. The leather straps go up almost to their knees over their calves. They have studs on the bottom of it so that when they planted their feet, they were difficult to be moved. Kind of like cleats in sports. Same concept. Paul uses this image to represent the gospel of peace. It's a firm foundation for those of us who believe. It's the firm foundation from which we defend the kingdom and go to war. I cannot resist the enemy if I'm agitated or I'm angry or, no, I have to do it in peace. I have to do it in the confidence of who I am in him. So, for shoes, we put on the readiness to preach the good news of peace with God. That's what this is all about. Really, that's what it's about. Isaiah 52:7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have what? We have peace with God through Adonai Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord Jesus, the Messiah. You look in Luke 1 when John the Baptist's father, Zechariah, goes into the holy place and he has been struck mute, and suddenly, when they're trying to decide what they're going to name him, filled with the Holy Spirit, he speaks out and he begins to prophesy. And when you get down to verse 78 and 79, as he's prophesying about who John the Baptist will be and whose way he's preparing for, he says, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring, the early morning light from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Remember what the angels said when they appeared to the multitude, the heavenly host of God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, what? Peace, goodwill toward men. That's what it was all about. The reconciliation was about bringing peace. It's about the Father saying, I don't want to have to destroy you. I'm giving you peace. I'm giving you a peace offering. I'm even paying for it myself. Peace was his mission and his mandate to us. We stand in it and we bring it because he supplies and we apply. Philippians 4:7, the peace of God, which what surpasses all understanding, makes no natural sense, will guard your hearts and minds through Messiah Yeshua. Stand in peace. If you've ever been in the presence of something demonic, something powerful, something beyond your natural understanding, the hair on your arms and your neck will stand up, your legs might become weak, your stomach might begin to do flip-flops, and your heart starts to race. Take a second, take a deep breath, remember who you are, remember who he is, and even if your teeth are chattering and your words are stammering, be peaceful. Even if all you can remember is his name, say it over and over and over. Even if you can only remember one scripture or one prayer, he will honor your heart. Even if your mouth can't move, even if they have found a way to shut down your ability to speak, begin to say it in your mind, begin to speak it in your mind, and that will project outward, and the enemy will hear it. Stand in peace. Verse 16, lift up over all the covering shield of faith, upon which you can quench all the fiery darts, flaming missiles of the wicked one. Above all, pick up that shield of faith. Pick it up. Grab a hold of some faith. And those fires start flying. They start coming. They're coming from everywhere. Get that shield up and get behind it. The Roman soldier's shield typically measured 2.5 feet by 4 feet. These are the long shields, the the scutum, not the little round, you know, ones that they used in close combat. These are the ones that the entire armies would use in front of them. They would create a wall above them. Then the people behind them would, this is stuff we have to use together. And they used it against everything. They could even hit with it. I'm going to hit that enemy upside the head with some fate. All the fiery darts, everything the enemy flies at you, every reminder of your past, every memory of a sin or a failure or something you didn't get or something you didn't do, throw up some faith. Throw it up there. Right now, look in your life. Something hit you today. Something hit you yesterday. The enemy got a reviling accusation in and you heard it. Hold up your faith in him. I am born again. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I am a new creation. I am his. See, the enemy is described in Proverbs 26:18 as a madman, like a madman who throws firebrands and arrows and death. Oh, he's just, they just fling it. They don't even care if they aim. They're just flinging, hoping to hit something. It's coming from everywhere. So that's why you have to hold it up. That's why you have to stand side by side with somebody and people behind you. We have to circle one another. We have to be in this together. Because temptation and sin and a trick and deceit of the enemy is always present. Look what happened to the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane. They've just had the Last Supper, the Passover. They've sang, they've eaten, they've celebrated. And then they fall asleep when he needs them the most. And Yeshua says in Matthew 26:41, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Watch and pray. Don't do one or the other. Do both. Watch and pray. All these earthquakes around the ring of fire. Something's ready, getting ready to go. Watch and pray. Category 4 or 5 going to hit Big Island of Hawaii. Watch and pray. But temptation is going to happen. It's going to be in the world. It's going to be in loved ones. It's going to come from anywhere. It'll come in a moment you don't even expect. It'll catch you off guard. You might be running and gunning and praying and laying hands on people, and then suddenly the enemy hits you upside your head, hits you in the back of your head, kicks you in your knees. He's not going to fight fair. He's not going to square off with you and say, okay, you ready to go? No, 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 no. He's a cheater. He's a dirty fighter, which is why bring it all. Drop every spiritual bomb you have. There have been moments, and my wife can tell you, that in the midst of a confrontation with a spirit or an entity that dared to enter my home or try to affect my family or my pets, I'll hit them long after it's over. I'll be dropping scripture on him, flying elbows, knee shots. Nope, 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 no mercy. You've had no mercy on my brothers and sisters. I'll have no mercy on you, Hasatan. James says in chapter 1, verse 12, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. So we need to have faith in him. And our faith in him is that we are assured of eternity. Let me say that again. Our ultimate faith in him, name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, is eternity with him. Look at John 5:24. Red letters, Lord speaking, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. John picks that up again in his epistle in 1 John chapter 5, verse 5. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Yeshua is the Son of God. I know one thing, and one thing only, Paul said. Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, and him crucified. So look at the armor so far. It guards your heart, it secures your faith, and it empowers sure footing. So now in verse 17, we're told to do something different. We're told to take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. All those other things we were told to put on, but now we must take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. That indicates to me a choice. And that intricate Roman helmet was very vital to protecting their head. You want to protect your head. You want to protect your mind, your thoughts. One of the sayings in warfare is, kill the head, the enemy dies. Cut the head off of the snake. It's always about the head. Mike Tyson, great champion, you say everybody has a game plan to hit him in the face. Taking a shot to your head is not a good thing. That's why you want the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. You want to protect your mind with the assurance that you are saved and your eternal life is in place because you believe in Messiah. So you take the helmet and you put it on, 1 Thessalonians 5:8. Let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, the helmet, the hope of our salvation. Do you have hope in your salvation? What's going on in your life right now? You know, when I was unsaved, before I was born again, when I was doing the crystals and laying in a bed full of crystals, when I was doing astral projection, when I was doing all the things that the Bible says not to do, I believed I was a good person. I actually believed I was going to heaven. I'd been baptized. I'd been sprinkled. I'd been slapped. I went to church. I knew who Jesus was, but I didn't know him personally. So there are people right now that think that they're good people, that think they're going to heaven for all the religious things that were done to them or with them or that they've done over their life, or how many pews they've sat in, how many churches they belong to. But are you born again? Have you renounced the works of HaSatan? Have you renounced the works of the powers of darkness? Have you said, Lord, forgive me, cleanse me, take these things out of me which are not from you. I make you Lord of my life. I accept what you did for me on the cross of Calvary. I apply your blood to my sins. See, once I did that, the enemy had no place in me. He had no ground in me. None of the things I had done before, none of the things I had done with the power of the enemy, splitting crowds to make my way through, seeing things, doing things, all those things did not matter anymore because I had been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love, into the kingdom of light, been restored to my heavenly Father. He gave me salvation. He supplied it. I applied it. Now we need to follow this example Paul is laying out for us. You see, because he gave us an example. He's not asking us to do anything that isn't a part of his makeup. Isaiah 59:17. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation on his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with a zeal as a cloak. Unfortunately, in his human body, that garment was put on his body while he was still bleeding, and the skin had split. and the helmet, the crown they put upon his head was made of thorns, the size of nails that embedded themselves into his skull. But he did it with zeal. He did it with purpose. Take up. It is a choice. It is a specific motion. And that sword of the Spirit, Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God, is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I'm a sword person. I have many of them. Various rooms, various walls. I've got so many of them, some lean against walls. I understand swords. A two-edged sword is very unique. It cuts on the way in and it cuts on the way out, and it doesn't allow the wound to close. It cuts if you swing it up. It cuts if you swing it down. This particular sword will cut and divide soul and spirit, divide joints and marrow. It will divide the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Can cut you as well as your opponent. The same word you use against your enemy might come back against you. That's why you better have that righteousness in place. That saying about a double-edged sword means it has both good effects, positive effects, and negative effects. Sometimes it works in your favor, sometimes it works against you. And the enemy knows that. And he will use that against you. But the one thing I know about this sword, how powerful it is that when he speaks, and we see it in Revelation 1, starting with verse 12, as John the Revelator turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and his hair were white like wool and white as snow, and his eyes like flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. He had in his hand, his right hand, seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death." Don't let people tell you being slain in the Spirit's not in the Bible. That's what happened to John in the presence of a power greater than his body could understand. Even though he was in the Spirit, he fell as if dead. We see Daniel do it in the front of the angel. When you are in the presence of that kind of holiness, your human body cannot handle it. But this sword of the Spirit coming out of his mouth, we know, is the spoken word, the words that he spoke at the beginning of all creation. It's the only offensive weapon we have in our armor. Up till this point, everything has been defensive. This is offensive. It's not necessarily the whole Bible. You can wave around that leather-clad, paper-bound thing, but it won't have any power unless the word is in you, unless you apply it. Spoken in specific situation, a precise word. And to do that means you must know that word intimately. A.W. Tozer says, "A new world will arise out of the religious mists when we approach our Bible with the idea that it is a book which is now speaking. The two edges, the Logos and the Rhema. That word will heal you. It will enlighten you. It will empower and it will expose you. It will judge you." John 12:48, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him." The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. That word, same two-edged sword that I'll use to destroy Satan and the kingdom of darkness, will judge humanity. But it will also guide you. Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We'll stop there because the next thing is about prayer, and I want to really focus in on that. I want to get you to the place that when, the next time the enemy shows up, you're jacked up. You're spiritually ready. I don't care how young you are, how old you are, if your knees work, they don't work, how nimble you are on your feet, doesn't matter. If the Spirit's in you, the Word is in you, it will come to your lips. And you can stutter it and you can mess it up. It doesn't matter. You're speaking His Word in His voice, under His authority, that exousia. Father, help us right now to understand this. Help us to push back the darkness. Help us to reclaim what's been stolen from us. Help us to do what you called us to do. Right now, in the name of Yeshua, with all my heart, with all my mind, my soul, and my strength, I speak into the Spirit. I speak into this world. I speak into this, the sound of everyone listening right now, Father. Break every bond. Open every door. Restore to us everything that's been stolen. All the crops that have been destroyed. All the harvest that we have lost. I'm asking you to be as good as your word, and that your Spirit within us would shine. That we would have a word in season. That we would do what you showed us to do, Lord, in the fullness and the power with the heart and the compassion that you gave us. We believe right now, we believe that you are the Son of the living God, the only begotten of God. We believe that you died on the cross for our sins. We believe that you rose from the dead and that you sit at the right hand of the Father in fullness and power. Lord, we believe that. And that you have sent to us the Holy Spirit to abide in us. You have endued us with power from on high to set the captives free. To make disciples. Give us the heart. Give us the mind. Let the fire fall right now, Lord. Cleanse us with it. Heal us with it. Fill us with it. We love you, Lord. We love you with every ounce of our being. You have supplied so much to us. Now, Holy Spirit, as you walk with us and guide us and teach us, help us to apply it. And I pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Give you shalom. I'm Richard Grund. This has been The Porch on Firefall Talk Radio.